health fads, diets, Fitspo, it's everywhere at the moment. But those diets might all be a waste, according to research by the CSIRO. We actually make our food choices based on our genetics, environment, and of course, experience. All these factors influence what food we choose to eat. So even if we wanted to choose the healthiest thing on the menu, I mean, you know, you do try, our genes are telling us to choose differently. It's our genes' fault. It's not gluttony. It's your genes. Smell, saliva, and the way we chew all impact on our enjoyment of food and the choices we make. To explain more, I'm joined by Nicholas Archer, CSIRO researcher from the Sensory Flavour and Consumer Sciences. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you very much for having me.
How good is that title, Sensory Flavour and Consumer Sciences? How'd you do that? That's amazing. You're loving it. Could you explain more about the impact of our genes on food choices? How does that exactly work?
Yeah, so I suppose flavour perception is a combination of receptors that sit in the mouth, which are associated with taste, and receptors that are in the nose, which are associated with aroma perception. And so there are genes that produce these receptors in the mouth and in the tongue, in the mouth and in the nose. And so between any two individuals, there's genetic variability that exists. And this means that the way that their receptors work and what they detect vary between individuals. And so this is then going to influence how they perceive the foods, and then that then influences their food preference and food selection.
So our genes determine whether we have a sweet tooth or not?
In part, yes. So it's not just genes, as you mentioned in the introduction. It's actually a combination of things that come together to determine the foods that we like to eat and also the ones that we choose to eat. So the environment plays an important part, and also our prior experience. So whether you've had a good experience with a food before or not, and whether you're familiar with the food, of course, is going to also influence the types of foods that you're going to eat.
In this research, there's also a discussion about how saliva impacts on how we enjoy food.
Yes.
You know, saliva, how's my saliva doing this?
Yeah, so saliva is, I suppose, very complex. So I think most people probably think that saliva is just liquid in their mouth, you know, water, and that's it. But it's actually full of a lot of important proteins and enzymes. So there's amylase and lipases, and these break down sugars and fats. There's also other proteins which are important around the lubrication of the mouth. And formation of say a food bolus to help you then swallow the food. So there is a whole big sort of complexity that's involved in saliva, and the composition of that saliva actually changes not only throughout the day, but whether you're hungry or whether you've just eaten or not.
So, okay, I'll read this text to you and then I'll put my own experience to you. Scottish people like salt and alcohol, it's genetics, says this person. I can tell you that my addiction to olive oil and olives is kind of dangerous, perhaps, maybe, not really manageable some days. I am of a Greek Australian background. Is that genetic? Are my genes kind of saying I need olive oil?
Oh, potentially it could be genes. It's going to be a combination of factors. I'm not specifically sure about olive oil, but there are other foods where we do know that there is a strong genetic component. Maybe with the olive oil, maybe the cravings have to do with foods that are associated with the olive oil as well. So if you eat the olive oil, maybe you're having bread with it as well. And so, you know, bread is quite a nice thing to eat.
No, I'll just drink it. No, I'm exaggerating a little. Yeah. Actually, I do it occasionally, but it's, I know.
Oh,
that's,
wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of exaggerating. I'm just having fun. But ultimately, I suppose the biggest question before I let you go, how much control do we have then?
So I think everybody probably has some level of control, and there is evidence to suggest that we can shift our food preferences, that they're not set in stone. So I think, you know, if you do have an unhealthy diet, then there is hope for you, I suppose.
Okay, there is hope. You can shift it.
That's correct.
We can control our own decisions, even if we can't help ourselves and we just need a chip.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for your time, Nicholas.
No problems. Thank you.